Then said the prince, "And what is he that is become thy companion in this so weighty a matter?" So Mr. Desires told Emmanuel that he was a poor neighbor of his, and one of his most intimate associates. "And his name," said he, "may it please your most excellent majesty, is Wet Eyes, of the town of Mansoul. I know that there are many of that name that are not, but I hope it will be no offense to my lord that I have brought my poor neighbor with me." Then Mr. Wet Eyes fell on his face to the ground and made this apology for his coming with his neighbor to his lord. "O my lord," quoth he, "what I am I know not myself, nor whether my name be feigned or true, especially when I begin to think what some have said, namely, that this name was given me because Mr. Repentance was my father. Good men have bad children, and the sincere do oftentimes beget hypocrites. My mother also called me by this name from the cradle, but whether because of the moistness of my brain or because of the softness of my heart, I cannot tell. I see dirt in my own tears and filthiness in the bottom of my prayers. But I pray thee, in all this," while the gentleman wept, "that thou wouldst not remember against us our transgressions, nor take offense at the unqualifiedness of thy servants, but mercifully pass on the sin of Mansoul, and refrain from the glorifying of thy grace no longer." So at his bidding they arose, and both stood trembling before him, and he spake to them to this purpose: "The town of Mansoul hath grievously rebelled against my father, in that they have rejected him from being their king, and did choose to themselves for their captain a liar, a murderer, and a runagate slave. For this Diabolus, your pretended prince, though once so highly accounted of by you, made rebellion against my father and me, even in our palace and highest court there, thinking to become a prince and king. But being there timely discovered and apprehended, and for his wickedness bound in chains, and separated to the pit in those that were his companions, he offered himself to you, and you have received him. Now this is, and for a long time hath been, a high affront to my father. Wherefore my father sent to you a powerful army to reduce you to your obedience. But you know how these men, their captains, and their councils were esteemed of you, and what they received at your hand. You rebelled against them. You shut your gates upon them. You bid them battle. You fought them, and fought for Diabolus against them. So they sent to my father for more power, and I, with my men, are come to subdue you. But as you treated the servants, so you treated their lord. You stood up in hostile manner against me. You shut up your gates against me. You turned the deaf ear to me and resisted as long as you could. But now I have made a conquest of you. Did you cry me mercy so long as you had hopes that you might prevail against me? But now I have taken the town, you cry. But why did you not cry before, when the white flag of my mercy, the red flag of justice, and the black flag that threatened execution were set up to cite you to it? Now I have conquered your Diabolus. You come to me for favor. But why did you not help me against the mighty? Yet I will consider your petition, and will answer it so as will be for my glory. Go bid Captain Monergis and Captain Conviction bring the prisoners out to me into the camp tomorrow, and say you to Captain Judgment and Captain Execution, stay you in the castle and take good heed to yourselves, that you keep all quiet in Mansoul until you shall hear further from me. And with that he turned himself from them and went into his royal pavilion again. So the petitioners, having received this answer from the prince, returned, and, as at the first, to go to their companions again. But they had not gone far, but thoughts began to work in their minds that no mercy as yet was intended by the Prince of Mansoul. So they went to the place where the prisoners lay bound, but these workings of mind about what would become of Mansoul had such strong power over them, that by that they were come unto them that sent them, they were scarce able to deliver their message. But they came at length to the gates of the town. Now the townsmen, with earnestness, were waiting for their return, where many met them, to know what answer was made to the petition. Then they cried out to those that were sent, "What news from the prince? And what hath Emmanuel said?" But they said that they must, as afore, go up to the prison and there deliver their message. So away they went to the prison with a multitude at their heels. Now when they were come to the gates of the prison, they told the first part of Emmanuel's speech to the prisoners, to wit, how he reflected upon their disloyalty to his father and himself, and how they had chosen and closed with Diabolus, had fought for him, hearkened to him, and been ruled by him, but had despised him and his men. This made the prisoners look pale, but the messengers he, the prince, said, moreover, that yet he would consider your petition and give such answer thereto as would stand with his glory. And as these words were spoken, Mr. Wet Eyes gave a great sigh. At this they were all of them struck into their dumps and could not tell what to say. Fear also possessed them in a marvelous manner, and death seemed to sit upon some of their eyebrows. Now there was in the company a notable sharp-witted fellow, a mean man of estate, and his name was Old Inquisitive. This man asked the petitioners if they had told out every whit of what Emmanuel said, and they answered, "Verily, no." Then said Inquisitive, "I thought so indeed. Pray, what was it more than he said unto you?" Then they paused a while, but at last they brought out all, saying, "The prince bade us bid Captain Bonerges and Captain Conviction bring the prisoners down to him tomorrow, and that Captain Judgment and Captain Execution to take charge of the castle and town till they should hear further from him." They said also that when the prince had commanded them thus to do, he immediately turned his back upon them and went into his royal pavilion. But oh, how this return, and especially this last clause of it, that the prisoners must go out to the prince into the camp, break all their loins in pieces. Wherefore with one voice they set up a cry that reached up to the heavens. This done, each of the three prepared himself to die. And the recorder said unto them, "This was the thing that I feared." For they concluded that tomorrow, by that the sun went down, they should be tumbled out of the world. The whole town also counted of no other, but that in their time and order they must all drink of the same cup. Wherefore the town of Mansoul spent that night in mourning in sackcloth and ashes. The prisoners also, when the time was come for them to go down before the prince, dressed themselves in mourning attire with ropes upon their heads. The whole town of Mansoul also showed themselves upon the wall, all clad in mourning weeds, if perhaps the prince with the sight thereof might be moved with compassion. But oh, how the busybodies that were in the town of Mansoul did now concern themselves. They did run here and there through the streets of the town by companies, crying out as they ran in tumultuous wise, one after one matter, and another quite the contrary, to the almost utter distraction of Mansoul. Well, the time is come that the prisoners must go down to the camp and appear before the prince, and thus was the manner of their going down. Captain Bonaire just went with a guard before them, and Captain Conviction came behind, and the prisoners went down bound in chains in the midst. So, I say, the prisoners went in the midst, and the guard went with flying colors behind and before, but the prisoners went with drooping spirits. Or, more particularly, thus, the prisoners went down all in mourning. They put ropes upon themselves. They went on, smiting themselves on the breast, but durst not lift up their eyes to heaven. Thus they went out at the gate of Mansoul till they came into the midst of the prince's army, the sight and glory of which did greatly heighten their affliction. Nor could they now longer forbear, but cry out aloud, "O unhappy men, O wretched men of Mansoul!" Their chains still mixing their dolorous notes with the cries of the prisoners made the noise more lamentable. So when they were come to the door of the prince's pavilion, they cast themselves prostrate upon the place. Then one went in and told his lord that the prisoners were come down. The prince then ascended a throne of state and sent for the prisoners in, who, when they came, did tremble before him. Also they covered their faces with shame. Now as they drew near to the place where he sat, they threw themselves down before him. Then said the prince to the captain Boanerges, "Bid the prisoners stand upon their feet." Then they stood trembling before him, and he said, "Are you the men that heretofore were the servants of Shaddai?" And they said, "Yes, Lord, yes." Then said the prince again, "Are you the men that did suffer yourselves to be corrupted and defiled by that abominable one, Diabolus?" And they said, "We did more than suffer it, Lord, for we chose it of our own mind." The prince asked further, saying, "Could you have been content that your slavery should have continued under his tyranny as long as you had lived?" Then said the prisoners, "Yes, Lord, yes, for his ways were pleasing to our flesh, and we were grown aliens to a better state." "And did you," said he, "when I came up against this town of Mansoul, heartily wish that I might not have the victory over you?" "Yes, Lord, yes," said they. Then said the prince, "And what punishment is it, think you, that you deserve at my hand for these and other your high and mighty sins?" And they said, "Both death and the deep, Lord, for we have deserved no less." He asked again if they had aught to say for themselves why the sentence that they confessed that they had deserved should not be passed upon them. And they said, "We can say nothing, Lord. Thou art just, for we have sinned." Then said the prince, "And for what are those ropes on your heads?" The prisoners answered, "These ropes are to bind us withal to the place of execution, if mercy be not pleasing in thy sight." So he further asked if all the men in the town of Mansoul were in this confusion as they. And they answered, "All the natives, Lord, but for the Diabolonians that came into our town when the tyrant got possession of us. We can say nothing for them." Then the prince commanded that a herald should be called, and that he should, in the midst and throughout the camp of Emmanuel, proclaim, and that with sound of trumpet, that the prince, the son of Shaddai, had, in his father's name, and for his father's glory, gotten a perfect conquest and victory over Mansoul, and that the prisoners should follow him and say, "Amen." So this was done as he had commanded. And presently the music that was in the upper region sounded melodiously. The captains that were in the camp shouted, and the soldiers did sing songs of triumph to the colors waved in the wind, and great joy was everywhere, only it was wanting as yet in the hearts of the men of Mansoul. Then the prince called for the prisoners to come and to stand again before him, and they came and stood trembling. And he said unto them, "The sins, trespasses, iniquities that you, with the whole town of Mansoul, have from time to time committed against my father and me, I have power and commandment from my father to forgive to the town of Mansoul, and do forgive you accordingly." And having so said, he gave them written in parchment, and sealed with 7 seals, a large and general pardon, commanding my lord mayor, my lord Will, and Mr. Recorder, to proclaim and cause it to be proclaimed tomorrow, by that the sun is up throughout the whole town of Mansoul. Moreover, the prince stripped the prisoners of their mourning weeds and gave them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Then he gave to each of the 3 jewels of gold and precious stones, and took away their ropes, and put chains of gold about their necks, and earrings in their ears. Now the prisoners, when they did hear the gracious words of Prince Emmanuel, and had beheld all that was done unto them, fainted almost quite away. For the grace, the benefit, the pardon, was sudden, glorious, and so big, that they were not able, without staggering, to stand up under it. Yea, my lord Will swooned outright. But the prince stepped to him, put his everlasting arms under him, embraced him, kissed him, and bid him be of good cheer, for all should be performed according to his word. He also did kiss and embrace and smile upon the other two that were Will be Will's companions, saying, Take these as further tokens of my love, favor, and compassion to you. And I charge you that you, Mr. Recorder, tell in the town of Mansell what you have heard and seen. Then were their fetters broken to pieces before their faces, and cast into the air, and their steps were enlarged under them. Then they fell down at the feet of the prince, and kissed his feet, and wetted them with tears. Also they cried out with a mighty strong voice, saying, Blessed be the glory of the Lord from this place. So they were bid rise up and go to the town, and tell to Mansell what the prince had done. He commanded also that one with a pipe and tabor should go and play before them all the way into the town of Mansell. Then was fulfilled what they never looked for, and they were made to possess that which they never dreamed of. The prince also called for the noble Captain Credence, and commanded that he and some of his officers should march before the noblemen of Mansell with flying colors into the town. He gave also unto Captain Credence a charge, that about that time that the recorder did read the general pardon in the town of Mansell, that at that very time he should with flying colors march in at Eygate with his 10,000 at his feet, and that he should so go until he came by the high street of the town up to the castle gates, and that himself should take possession thereof against his lord came thither. He commanded moreover that he should bid Captain Judgment and Captain Execution to leave the stronghold to him, and to withdraw from Mansell, and to return into the camp with speed unto the prince. And now was the town of Mansell also delivered from the terror of the first four captains and their men. Chapter 7. Well, I told you before how the prisoners were entertained by the noble Prince Emmanuel, and how they behaved themselves before him, and how he sent them away to their home with pipe and tabor going before them. And now you must think that those of the town that had all this while waited to hear of their death could not but be exercised with sadness of mind and with thoughts that pricked like thorns. Nor could their thoughts be kept to any one point. The wind blew with them all this while at great uncertainties. Yea, their hearts were like a balance that had been disquieted with a shaking hand. But at last, as they with many a long look looked over the wall of Mansell, they thought that they saw some returning to the town, and thought again, Who should they be to? Who should they be? At last they discerned that they were the prisoners, but can you imagine how their hearts were surprised with wonder, especially when they perceived also in what equipage and with what honor they were sent home? They went down to the camp in black, but they came back to the town in white. They went down to the camp in ropes, but they came back in chains of gold. They went down to the camp with their feet in fetters, but came back with their steps enlarged under them. They went also to the camp looking for death, but they came back from thence with assurance of life. They went down to the camp with heavy hearts, but came back again with pipe and tabor playing before them. So as soon as they were come to Eygate, the poor and tottering town of Mansell adventured to give a shout. And they gave such a shout as made the captains in the prince's army leap at the sound thereof. Alas, for them, poor hearts, who could blame them, since their dead friends were come to life again? For it was to them as life from the dead to see the ancients of the town of Mansell shine in such splendor. They looked for nothing but the axe and the block, but behold, joy and gladness, comfort and consolation, and such melodious notes attending them, that was sufficient to make a sick man well. So when they came up, they saluted each other with, Welcome, welcome, and blessed be he that has spared you.